Hi, everyone. Welcome to Flock Talk. I'm Aaron Morgan.
And I'm Tom Lewis.
And we work for the farmer members of the Ontario Sheep Farmers Organization.
This week, we are discussing research with Dr. Angela Canovas, Professor and OAC Research Chair in Phenomics and System Biology, Distinguished Professor of Excellence in Research, Beef Cattle, and Small Ruminant Genomics with the University of Guelph.
Welcome, Dr. Canovas, and thank you for joining Flock Talk.
Thank you very much. It's a great pleasure for me to be here today and explain a little bit what I'm doing and chat with you.
Perfect. Well, it's great having you here, and that's exactly where we want to start. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and the work that you do?
Yes. So as you mentioned, I'm a full professor at the Department of Animal Bioscience and also Ontario Agriculture College Research Chair at the University of Guelph. My position is more focused in beef cattle and small ruminant genomics, but also I collaborate with a lot of other livestock species. So basically, yeah, I apply genomics to a lot of livestock species, but again, more focused in beef cattle and small ruminants.
So we know you have extensive experience in your field. Will you please give us an overview of your career that's brought you to your current position at the University of Guelph of OAC Research Chair in Phenomics and Systems Biology?
Yes. So I'm originally from Spain. So I study agriculture engineering. So there in Spain and most of the European countries, ag is a part of engineering. So yeah, I complete 5 years of engineering. and then after that, I specialize in biotechnology more. And I decided to continue my grad studies. So I focused, well, my PhD was in animal breeding and genetics. So originally I started the PhD there as well in Spain. But I had a very good scholarship funded by the Ministry of Agriculture that allowed me to do 1 year of each of the 4 years of my PhD program abroad. So it was a wonderful experience for me. So I went 1 year, the first year to UK in Bristol. I was in University of Bristol in the veterinary school there. Then I moved to United States, so I did 1 year in Iowa State University in Iowa, and then I moved to California to do another year in University of California, Davis. So after that, I did all my research abroad, again in US and UK, and I came back to Spain. I did the defense of the PhD, and after that, I applied to a very prestigious and excellent fellowship to do my postdoctoral research that the name is Fulbright. So this is considered, again, as I mentioned, no excellence. So it was few scholarships available in the world. So the only requirement is to choose a university in US to go there. Again, has to be an institution of excellence as well. So I decided to, between Iowa and California, I decided to come to California. So then I was there 2 years doing my postdoctoral research at the University of California, Davis again. And after I completed my postdoctoral period, there I applied for the position here in University of Guelph. So that was my first position I applied. And here I am. So after 8 years, I moved here 8 years ago. I started as assistant professor. After 3 years, I got tenure and promoted to associate professor in 2018. And after 4 years, I applied again to promotion and I was promoted to full professor and oak research chair. So this is a summary of my of my professional career.
Wow, we are so lucky to have you.
Thank you, Erin. I'm also so lucky to be here and work with you all. So, yeah.
So before we go into talking about the current projects you're working on, because we do want to talk about those, can you explain the difference between genetics and genomics?
That's a very good question. So basically, both genetics and genomics, we try to select or rank the animals, no, based on the different characteristics that we will talk later. So based on economical important traits that we want to improve, to select the best ones, the animals that they have more genetic merit, to be able to transmit, no, these beneficial characteristics, let's see, to the next generation or to offspring. So the differences with genomics basically is that with genomics, we also study or take into account all the genomic information, which means all the information we have in the genome. So not only a specific regions or a specific genes, just we account for everything that is in all the genome, in all the chromosomes. So how we can apply genomics, for example, using the new technologies, they are available now in livestock, no, to use. For example, could be genotyping the animals using the high density array or a SNP chip, which is again an array or a chip that you collect sample from your animal. Could be, for example, when you put the tag, the ear, no, tag in the same punch, you get a sample that you send for genotyping, or you collect hair samples. Again, you can use different biological samples to genotype your animal. So in one shot, you get all the, let's see, thousands and thousands of markers that are distributed across all the genome, that this information you can implement together with all the measuring and recording of your traits that you are measuring in your flock. And putting all this together, it's what we call genomics. So not only we have the phenotypic information, we have also the information of all the genes, markers that are, again, in all the genome of the animal.
And so to be clear, the phenotypic information, that's what you see?
So exactly. So phenotypic information is what you can see. Could be, again, visual characteristics, or could be also traits that you don't see, but you can measure or record. Okay. For example, let's see, you can see if an animal has more weight or less. But for example, let's see, we will talk about one of my projects. It's about health, about gastrointestinal nematode parasite infection. Let's see that you want to study the parasite, the eggs that the animal has in the feces, so perhaps you need to go in deep and measure. So there are things that not always you see visually, but through some analysis or tests as well, you can measure those traits. But yeah, in general, are things that you can see visually. Yeah.
Okay. When it comes to supporting advancements in the sheep industry in Canada, what are your research goals today?
So this is a great question, Erin. Thank you for asking. Because on top of the research goals that I will specify later, I would like to mention that one of my goals before, let's see, no, doing advanced research, no, it's disseminate the knowledge to translate the importance to apply genetics and genomics to accelerate the genetic improvement in the Ontario and Canadian sheep industry. Because, for example, if we compare with other livestock species, the sheep industry in Canada, we can do it better, let's see, okay? Mm-hmm. So still, we don't record routinely, you know, different traits, you know, in the flock. We don't even apply genomics routinely, which it means that not all the farmers in Ontario and in Canada, they genotype the animals when they are born. So one of my first, let's see, goal is to translate this importance, no, of record routinely both phenotypic information, which it means measure the traits that perhaps you already routinely, no, you collect in your farm, but make it, you know, this data sent to specific organizations or the university to really use this data. together with genotype the animals routinely. So this is the first goal, because again, if we compare the sheep industry, the Canadian sheep industry with New Zealand, Australia, France, other countries, you know, we are behind, no? And it's because we don't have still a huge, you know, database, no, of the animal, with information with the of the animals, okay? Both phenotypic information and genotype information. So saying that, so one of my, you know, goals is, as part of the projects, I include, you know, a lot of effort and funding to genotype animals, first of all, because again, the population in Canada that we have now, again, routinely, no genotypes collected is not very big, okay? So we need to improve that. So that's one of my goals. And second is, for example, well, improve economical important traits for the industry. That includes traits related to health, feed efficiency, sustainability, for example, production of methane emission, and also fertility and reproduction traits.
So going a little bit further into research, how will this knowledge that you gain from the research help farmers make better decisions?
So first, for example, let's see, one of my projects or my research line that I focus is health. So we want to improve the health of the animals. So more specifically, I'm very focused on the gastrointestinal nematode parasite infection, which is an infection that, well, the animals basically get these parasites when they are mostly in pasture, okay? So these parasites, they grow in the pasture. So then when the animals are on pasture, they get these parasites. And what is the... what is causing these nematodes parasite is basically the reduction in the production, okay, in general, but also even they can cause death, okay? So that's a lot of, you know, economic losses for the producer. So one of my research projects is to try to select and breed animals that are resistant to this gastrointestinal nematode parasite. Why is important to apply genetics to solve this problem? Because you can think, oh, okay, let's give them, you know, a drug or whatever, and that's it, no? So the problem is that the animals are becoming resistant to these drugs or treatments that they were used, no, throughout the last decades. So then is not anymore effective, okay? This together with, again, the consumer concern about, no, to produce more sustainable, you know, livestock and more environmental friendly and so on. So this, again, that's improve everything, no? So again, it's needed, no, genetics, genomics to solve this problem, okay? So then what I'm doing is trying, again, to identify those markers and genes that are associated to be more resistant to this parasite infection. This problem is not only a specific problem for Ontario or Canada. This problem is very well known across, you know, the world. They have this problem in, again, in a lot of countries, and they are already selecting as well animals from resistance to gastrointestinal nematode, no? For example, in New Zealand or Australia. So as I mentioned, because they are a little bit ahead of us compared to, you know, the routinely use of genomics in their flocks. So this is one of the aspects that the producers can benefit, no, from, for example, the research I'm doing. So because by knowing these specific genes and markers that are associated to be more resistant to gastrointestinal nematode, the farmers will be able to select those animals that they have these beneficial markers and breed them to have in the next generation a flock that is more resistant to gastrointestinal nematode infection, for example. This translates to beneficial economic gain, because the animals first, they are going to be healthier, which it means that they don't need, you know, any drugs, any treatments, any veterinary visits. And of course, the animals, they are not going to die. Mm-hmm. So that it's not an important economic aspect, but also it's very important as well that on top of this economic gain, as well, the animals, they can pasture, you know, outside. So also that it will impact in the management of the of the flock in general. So then, because I know there are some farmers, they are worried about that. So then the animals, they don't go on pasture. So that's also affecting the management, of course, as well. And also another aspect that producers will benefit is because applying genomics, you don't need to wait until the animal grows, you know, and develop and everything to see their performance or their health status, because usually when the animal is born, so we take the sample and we genotype, okay? So this together of having a very big, you know, we call reference population, but let's see, database, of all the animals in the country. So then you can predict more accurately what's going to be the performance of this animal, if this animal is going to have problems or not. So then you can make decisions earlier. You don't need to wait until, you know, the animal is grow and you see those problems coming, okay? So you can make decisions earlier, which it means, again, that save a lot of money, space, management, you know, impact of a lot of things by making a decision of, you know, of whatever, you want for that animal. So to keep the animal or to cool the animal or, you know, or yeah. So that's, some benefits, some of the huge benefits that the producer can get.
Absolutely. That's a really great example. And so you've mentioned that other countries are further ahead in their sort of genomics work. Can you tell us a little bit about what that enables them to do today that we can't do? Like, what are the opportunities that producers in Canada are missing out on from not being as advanced as some of these other countries?
Yeah. So, for example, usually how, well, usually not how it works, is that when we want to select the animals, we want to select them for multiple traits. It's not that we want to select only for one specific characteristic or trait or phenotype, okay? So we want a lot of things, from an animal. Again, we want an animal that is healthy, an animal that is very efficient, an animal that has a very good fertility and reproduction characteristics, an animal that produces a high quality product. So we want a lot of things from an animal. So that's why we apply what we call multi-trait index selection, okay, or multi-trait selection index, okay. So where we use basically a formula, a question, is an index that we include the different traits and characteristics that we want to select the animal, and we give different weights, okay? Depends of the importance, depends of what is the status of this trait in general, in the population. It needs to be put more intensity because we need to improve it more, or we are happy with the, the average of the, production, and we want to keep it. So it depends, we give different weights. And so what happened compared to other countries is that the other countries, they already have a lot of phenotype information for very important economical traits, for example, feed efficiency. Feed efficiency, again, I'm talking now, for example, New Zealand and Australia, they already have a lot of phenotypic information related to feed efficiency in their flocks. So in Canada, still we don't have this recording information, okay? And this together with other phenotypes, okay? So this, that's why this is one differences. Phenotypic information, and as I mentioned, genotypic information. So in those countries, when an animal is born right away, when they put the tag or whatever, procedure, it works better for the producer. They take a sample and they send straight to genotype. And then, again, you have a very big reference population with all this information that allows you to select more accurately all the, you know, animals in the next generation. So that's basically the differences, which that's why is one of my goals, no, in my research as well. So to promote, no, the importance to measure the traits, the characteristics in, you know, in your flocks, and also genotype the animals. Because, yeah, having this data, we don't have anything, you know, to, we have everything to analyze and to work on this information. So we could be at the same level of those countries that nowadays they are ahead of us.
So you've talked about traits, and I'm just wondering if we can maybe dig into that a little bit deeper and speak about some of the traits that can be influenced through genetic selection.
So yes, basically, mostly all of them can be influenced by genetics. So we call, basically we call quantitative traits, or because it's traits or characteristics that we can measure, okay? We can quantify, okay? That's why usually we call quantitative traits. But could be almost everything that you think about. For example, could be weight, could be body condition score, could be, everything that you think, no, that we can evaluate or quantify at whatever stage of life of the animal, could be, again, since it's born until its death, right? So then, yeah, whatever we can measure, we can weight, we can, yeah, we can see, we can count, we can, yeah, whatever that could be, everything, yes.
But not every quantitative measure is controlled by just one gene, right? Like genes work together. So when we're looking at certain traits, which ones are the ones that are sort of easier to manipulate versus the ones that are expressed on through multiple genes where you have a lower ability to influence them?
That's a very good question, Erin, and also because, yeah, that allows me now to expand a little bit the previous question. So you're right, there are traits that are controlled by one gene that we call major gene, or controlled by multiple genes. That could be 10, 100, 1,000, 10,000 genes could be a lot, okay? So that's why also on top of calling them quantitative traits, we call complex traits as well, because it's complex sometimes, okay? Well, sometimes, no, most of the times. But yeah, because unfortunately, there are few traits that are controlled by one unique gene, or what it calls major gene, okay? There are few traits, and these are already discovered, okay, through the last decades. So most of them, there are controlled by multiple genes, okay? So, but again, with the technologies we have nowadays and the knowledge we have, and that's not a problem, we're going to work on this, okay? But I wanted to mention as well that very important aspect of applying genetics, or what Tom said, that which traits can be more can benefit more from genetics is depending of the heritability of the trait. So let's see how much is transmitted from one generation to the next generation, or from the one generation to the offsprings, okay? So there are traits that are high heritable, or moderate, or low heritability, okay? So of course, the traits that they have high heritability, they transmit faster, no, or more, to the next generation. Those traits that they are considered low heritability, it takes longer, okay, to see that progress. So for example, traits with low heritability, they are usually fertility and reproduction traits. Moderate to high could be feed efficiency traits. Well, depends of the traits, they are different heritability. So, but yeah, that's another important aspect that we need to account. But all of them, they benefit from genetics. The only difference is that some, it will be faster transmitted, no, to the, or more transmitted to the next generation, which it means that we will have this accumulative gain faster than other ones. And also mention that genetics also is a very good tool compared to other tools, because that improvement is constant. That improvement is accumulative, okay, so over the years. So, for example, if you give a drug or different diet to the animal to improve a certain aspect, that not necessarily is accumulative through generation. So genetics is accumulative.
It's so fascinating, all of it. And there's so many layers here. So let's turn our thoughts to the future. Imagine a future now where we have a larger data set. We have more information on Canadian sheep. What are you hoping we can accomplish? What is the future of sheep production in Canada with more data?
Yeah, oh, that would be amazing. So again, having a very good, reference population with all the phenotype and genotype data recorded routinely in all the flocks, we can apply a very, accurate multi-trait selection index, where we can select for multiple traits, economically important traits, very accurate. We can accelerate the genetic improvement in the Canadian sheep industry. And of course, on top of producing healthier animals, more sustainable animals, that they are more efficient, no, in terms of the conversion of the feed to product, more environmental friendly produce animals, no, that they have less methane emissions, and they use less antibiotic, less drugs, no, so consumers are more happy with the way, that we produce. So that is translated to economical, benefit for the producers as well, and the society in general.
It's exciting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, Dr. Canavis, for joining us today. This has been most informative and very interesting, as Aaron has mentioned.
Thank you very much.
No problem. We thank you.
Absolutely.
Amazing. And thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed this episode.
All right. The Eastern Sheep Expo is the premier one-day annual event targeting sheep producers in Eastern Ontario and Western Quebec, held annually in South Mountain, Ontario at the Mountain Township Agricultural Hall. This year's presenters include Ontario Sheep Farmers Chairperson Art Alblas, from the Animal Health Lab in Kempville, Dr. Emily Ratstep, Corlina Patterson of the Canadian Sheep Federation, and Lori Moss with No Sheep Sherlock. It's going to be a local 4-H food booth on site. We're also going to have prizes, silent auctions. We're also going to have a trade show available for everybody to come and enjoy. So that's Saturday, April 13th, 2024, at the Mountain Township Agricultural Hall in beautiful South Mountain, Ontario. The address is 2967 Loft Road, South Mountain, Ontario. Admission is $10 at the door. Hope to see everybody there.
Hey, Tom, what you been working on?
Ontario Sheep Farmers develops programs for sheep farmers to help them improve their farming operation. OSF staff have recently reviewed the suite of programs offered online on the online portal to ensure a seamless experience for users and make any course updates, such as the State of Industry for the Introduction to Small Ruminant Production course. These programs have been developed both at the provincial and national level to address flock health, marketing, biosecurity, the environment, record keeping and risk management, including traceability and the introduction to sheep production and the Master Shepherd course. I encourage you to check out the suite of online courses available to producers by visiting ontariosheep.org/programs. Hey, Aaron, so what else is going on at OSF?
For those listening who haven't heard the news, Tom Lewis, my podcast co-host and OSF's industry relations specialist and someone I call a friend, is leaving OSF for a new position as the executive director of the Poultry Industry Council. Congratulations on your new job, Tom. As you prepare for this next journey, I want to take a moment to express my sincere gratitude for all the hard work, dedication, and positive energy you brought to our team. Your contributions have been invaluable and you will be truly missed. Thank you for your commitment, professionalism, and the positive impact you've had on our team and our organization. We all wish you the very best in your future endeavors.
And if you enjoyed our podcast, please subscribe through your podcast app to receive alerts to our future episodes, and please share our podcast with friends and family.
For more Ontario Sheep Farmers content, follow us on social media at Ontario Sheep Farmers on Instagram and Facebook, and at Ontario Sheep on X, formerly Twitter, and visit our website at ontariosheep.org.